What You Need to Know is brought to you by Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking on the trail or your terrace, your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests like Dave McMiniman, who joined us earlier, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you missed Dave McMiniman and you want to subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast, you can. Don't forget Ben Lyons for our weekly movie review this week at 11:30. We will be doing, in honor of Beyonce's new film release on Disney Plus, we'll be doing the top five films where the lead is a female musical performer. We'll do that, and obviously we'll talk basketball with Ben because we know how much he loves talking hoops. And John Ireland will join us at 11:40 today. So we've got back-to-back guests to end the show. So if you want to get in, this next half hour is the way to do it. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What are your concerns from the Lakers as you now have ended the series with the Clippers and vice versa? If you're a Clippers fan, what are the concerns that you have? Is it lack of continuity, right? Is it just the fact that maybe they just haven't been able to put together a full complement of players, and maybe they won't, right? We don't know about Montrezl Harrell just yet. We expect him to be back, but we don't know if he's going to be back just yet. We know that Lou Williams is quarantining. We know that Pat Bev came back for yesterday's game, but there are some questions there, certainly. But let's get to what you need to know. And, Greg, before the games even started, all the players and coaches kneeled during the national anthem with T-shirts that said Black Lives Matter. It was an unbelievable display of solidarity. And I thought really Doc Rivers summed it up perfectly when talking about the night. Let's hear from Doc.
The hardest thing that happened to me in the game today was kneeling for 2 minutes. Like, my knee hurt. And in the middle of it, I'm thinking, in 2 minutes, my knee is hurting. Yet there was a guy that had his knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes. Think about that. The national anthem took 2 minutes. There were guys that needed towels and things to get under their knees. And yet, someone kneeled on another human being's neck for 8 minutes.
I mean, that kind of sums it up, right, Greg? Like, he's talking about his knee hurts and whatnot, and it was just 2 minutes, and this is what this is all about, right? And the focus, the NBA's done a good job of putting the focus back on the social justice aspect of this, and particularly the impetus of this particular social justice movement, which was George Floyd.
Wow, that was incredibly powerful. I had not heard that from Doc Rivers yet. So to hear him put it in that way is pretty amazing, the way how he's putting it. Yes, it was an incredibly powerful situation yesterday where they were all wearing the T-shirts. God, I didn't even think about that, that they had to sit on their knee for 2 minutes and you have somebody getting on their neck for eight.
Right.
It's crazy.
Think about it. Laura, what did you make of Doc's comments and just kind of the display of solidarity there?
It was powerful, just like Greg said. I actually hadn't heard it either. And when I was listening, I was like, wow. If you didn't get it before, and I don't understand why you wouldn't, that should make you get it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I thought Doc summed it up perfectly there, as really only Doc can. Like, he's just so succinct in the way he discusses stuff. Last thing for you here on What You Need to Know. We'll get back to the Lakers in a second. The Cardinals and Brewers have postponed their series because of COVID. The Cardinals may be having an outbreak. They've got at least two players positive, according to Jeff Passan. And now, all of a sudden, Major League Baseball at least has learned from the Marlins experience, which, by the way, another Marlins player tested positive. They're up to 20, including two coaches on their staff. So it's 18 players and two coaches. But they learned from the Marlins experience because, remember, Greg, they had four initially, and they played the game, and then things got worse. And they've learned to at least shut this thing down. But this is not good for Major League Baseball.
You mean you shouldn't ask the players whether they want to or not want to play that night when there are a bunch of tests that are coming back positive?
Pretty much.
At least I'm glad that they're learning their lessons now. Yeah, it's extremely concerning. And it's moving west, too. So it was just the east. Now it's the central. Eventually, hopefully it doesn't make it to the west. But that's the kind of the trend that it's looking like right now. Can I give you a what you need to know? Just one.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me one.
What you need to know, that the Dodgers won again last night, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-3. Corey Seager with another home run, back-to-back game with a home run. And A.J. Pollock, who people like to call bird bones on this station, has went 2-for-5. He had another double tonight, is batting over .450 right now. So that whole thing, am I worried after those two losses against the against the Giants? Are you worried anymore, George? 5-2.
No, I feel better. I still didn't love the way they played the Giants. I understand it's a rivalry, but I feel better, yes, after winning a bunch in a row here, certainly. I do think that that's the case, yes. Three in a row makes me feel a lot better.
Perfect.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by friends at Straight Talk Wireless. All right, so McMiniman was just on, Greg, and he was talking about, I asked him the question, and I'll pose the same question to you. What is more concerning to you of these two situations for the Lakers? LeBron has shot 37% in the four games against the Clippers this year, or Anthony Davis's output in the fourth quarters, playing an average of 7 minutes in those fourth quarters, and only scoring 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, and 2 points. Which one concerns you more?
I agree with Dave. It's the LeBron one of all of those, because LeBron not shooting well against a team like the Clippers is way more concerning to me, because Anthony Davis is going to get his. He's going to put up 30 points. I think he's averaging 27, 28 points a game versus the Clippers this year. So I need to see more from LeBron being more assertive on the offensive end when he needs to. And what he did yesterday, the defensive end was fantastic.
Laura, do you have a pick there on those two?
Initially, I was going to say AD, but I actually have to agree with Greg and say that it's LeBron, because if LeBron is not shooting the ball well, we're in trouble.
All right, I'm gonna tell you both why I think all of you are wrong here. And I'm going to tell you that the AD stuff still concerns me more, and here's why. It's mostly because of LeBron. So LeBron shooting 37% against the Clippers in the regular season, you know, it's not nothing, right? Like if we were playing the game, something, nothing, or everything, right? It's not nothing. It's not everything, though. It's something. And what I would say is this. I've seen LeBron, particularly against a Warriors team over the last several years, before this season, obviously, the last couple years when he was in Cleveland facing them in the finals, that in the regular season, there were some times where LeBron struggled because they could throw a lot of different bodies at him. They could throw KD at him. They could throw Andre Iguodala, obviously, at him. They could throw Draymond at him. They could throw Klay at him, right? They had guys that they could throw at LeBron. And, you know, sometimes in the regular season, LeBron didn't have the greatest efficiency numbers against them. But in those finals, they did lose those finals, right? Like, they lost every game but one. I mean, they probably should have won at least one more if it wasn't for J.R. Smith. But people forget in that J.R. Smith game, LeBron had 50 points in that game against those guys, okay? LeBron in the finals against that group of guys I just threw out was averaging 30-plus points a game, so much so that people were, like, doing the thing where, which is what we did with LeBron a lot in Cleveland specifically, both the first time and even the second time, which is ask the question, does LeBron have enough help? And people are asking of it now, too, by the way, because beyond Anthony Davis, there are people questioning the roster beyond Anthony Davis. No, I'm not one of those people. But I think the Anthony Davis stuff is more concerning because I believe LeBron can figure it out, okay? And if he can figure it out against that quadruple group there, that quad group there that I mentioned with the Warriors of Klay, Iggy, Dre, and KD, I think he can figure it out with PG and Kawhi. And because remember, particularly with Draymond and Andre Iguodala, most of their focus was going to be on defense anyway. Like, those guys are good at moving the ball, and yeah, they had to hit occasional shots. But that's four guys that they were throwing at him. So because of that, I'm less concerned about LeBron not figuring it out. And I'm more concerned about AD because, again, Greg and Laura, like I've told you before, yes, we've seen AD put up big numbers in the regular season. Yes, we've seen AD put up big numbers in the playoffs. But the fourth quarter thing is not a first-time thing with him. And to have it happen really mostly against just this team, the team that is going to stand in the way of the Lakers getting to the NBA Finals and potentially winning their 17th championship, that to me is more concerning because I haven't seen him do it on that stage.
So, I mean, that's all fair points. And I think we have to take into consideration is that you know, as in LA, we haven't watched LeBron James on a game in, game out basis every single day with the Lakers during the regular season, and seeing the things that you see watching so closely, like he was when he was in Cleveland and Miami. So we see him shooting 37% during the regular season against a team, and we think that's how it translates into the playoffs. And, you know, we can watch the playoff from afar, but when you're actually on the team, we haven't seen playoff LeBron yet. We don't know what playoff LeBron is like. So I think that's all fair to say, all those things that, you know, what he does in the playoffs is different.
Laura, do you like LeBron already? Did we convert you?
Please.
No.
What?
I told you guys, I will always give him his props.
Then like him.
No, like is different. Giving someone their props and liking is different. It's like, you know, when
that
you're...
That is true. She's right.
When you're in the team, you don't got to like all the players on the team, but when you're in the court, you're like, okay, that's my teammate. It's kind of how it is. He's our teammate because he's playing for the Lakers, and I love the Lakers, but that doesn't mean I like him. So, no.
Okay. All right.
I feel like you're just being stubborn at this point.
I mean, she may be, but it's her right. It is her right. JJ in the LBC. JJ, what's up?
What's going on, man? Listen, every day, I love you guys. Keep doing your thing.
Thank you, sir.
Last night, I'm a big Laker fan all my life. I think we did good. AD went off. He went incredible he was incredible last night. And I think we just need to stay the course and see where the season goes. That's it. See how we can finish this thing out. But the Clippers do scare me. I'm not going to lie to you. This is the first time ever in my life that I could look at a Clipper team and say that they're actually good, and they don't have any continuity yet. So that's something that I'm looking to see how that progresses as well.
All right, JJ, thank you for the call. Laura, what did you say? Say to the audience what you said to me in my ear.
I said he ain't wrong. I mean, I grew up in L.A. I'm an L.A. girl. We've never, ever feared the Clippers. We've always laughed at them, and I know Greg and I always go and we don't like them, but we can't sit here and say we're not a little bit shook. We are. And like I told both of you guys on text yesterday, the fact that the Lakers didn't blow them out last night concerned me, because they maybe not blown out, but it shouldn't have been a close game like it was. So yeah, I'm a little shook.
Greg, are you a little shook?
Not in the slightest.
Oh, you're such a tough
who's
guy.
Who's stubborn now?
No,
such
okay,
a tough
no.
guy. Yeah, look, who's stubborn now? Yeah, seriously.
A little bit shook in, sure, because this is a
look at that. Oh, it didn't even take long to crack your armor.
No. It's fine. It will be a good series. I think that it could go either way. It could go 6 or 7. I still got Lakers in 6. I do think they're the better team. They are a very good team, and whenever you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, it's basically those two versus LeBron and AD. The rest of the other pieces are going to do what they're going to do, but those four are the ones that we really need to watch over, and I just think the Lakers have the better of the two.
All right, Chris at El Segundo. What's up, Chris?
What's up, George? Thanks for taking my call, George. Okay, so I am not shook. I think we're good, but the one thing we could really, really use is a motor guy, and I'm talking Pat Bev, Marcus Smart. People call them a dog, you know, and when you say a dog, you think you want a Matt Barnes guy who can fight. We don't need a fighter. We need a guy who goes out there, and his mission, like Pat Bev, is to play for his dudes on his team and motivate guys and make them feel guilty if they're not covering their defensive assignments. So I think, honestly, like right now, if we had Pat Bev, don't even take Pat Bev off the Clippers. Give us another Pat Bev. So it's Pat Bev on both teams. They go head-to-head. I think we got the Clippers for sure. Give us a Marcus Smart, and they still have Pat Bev. I think we got them because our top-end talent is that much better. Alex Caruso's a hustle guy. Too nice. He's awesome. I love him. Larry Nance was a hustle guy. I loved him. Too nice. We need a guy who's going to make everyone feel bad. Another concern, really quick, is say LeBron's gone in a year, 2 years, and we got AD. What keeps us from turning into Pelicans 2.0? There was an instance in Pelicans a couple years ago where Alvin Gentry came out and said something about AD not really being a leader and pushing him to be a leader. I think he is a lead by example guy, but when LeBron's gone, dude, he needs a motor guy to guilt everyone in the team to pushing through those slumps that they went through in the middle of the game where they fell behind by 10 points.
Yeah, listen, go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I look at this team, and here's what I would say about the just. It's not just a Laker-related thing, and thank you for the call, Chris. I appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe. You as well, JJ, in the LBC. I think, Greg, is it fair to say that every team in the NBA has at least a little bit of a flaw, even as deep as the Clippers are on paper, right? Like, they all have flaws, Lakers and Clippers included?
Yeah, every team does.
Right. So I think that, you know, to want, you know, to answer his earlier, the earlier part of his question, to want a dog, man, like, Pat Beverly was a cast-off on a lot of different teams. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you got to find one of those, like, in like much like you did with Alex Caruso, right? Like, he was a G League guy, a guy who's just, like, hungry and a dog, as you put it, that just wants to kind of get in people's up in people's space. Like, to have those kind of guys, it's not easy. Like, those guys don't necessarily grow on trees. You know what I mean? And Marcus Smart was drafted in the first round. you know what I'm saying? So, like, and Marcus Smart, now, he's an elite defender. Like, he is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate most years that he's been in the league. And he is elite on that side, too. So there's no rhyme or reason as to how you find that guy, Greg. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, I still think that we have those guys. I know he said that Alex Caruso is too nice. But, I mean, Caruso kind of is a pretty big dog on defense. I mean,
He's feisty.
And he works so hard on every single play, and he's out there for his guys, just like everybody else, like the glass collar was talking about. I mean, he had the defensive play of the game almost, with like getting the block and the steal to stop them all. And like, you have other guys like Jared Dudley that can kind of do the same thing, even though he doesn't play very much. KCP's a very good defender. Danny Green is a fantastic defender.
He is a fantastic defender. Yeah.
So I think they have all those things. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Aren't the Lakers third in defensive rating? I mean, they have the guy.
I don't remember, but I think they are definitely in that conversation, yes.
So, I mean, I think the defensive dogs are all there. It's just not a guy that's like,
it just is not vocal. He wants someone more vocal, I think, is what he's talking about. That's what he's like referring to.
You want like the Roni Turioff type guy that's screaming on the sidelines? I mean, that's Jared Dudley.
Yeah, Lakers are third in defensive rating this year behind Milwaukee and Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, the defense is there.
Yeah. All right, let's go to – he had another question on the back end. What was the other question? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah, I forgot. Okay. Yeah, Laura, if you can go back and listen, and then we'll just answer it later. Sorry about that, but I completely whiffed on that because we were talking about the other thing first. Let me go to Terry in L.A. Terry, what's up?
Here's the thing. Sometimes I have to wonder, do people actually watch the game? Listen, LeBron is 35. We're depending on LeBron to be Cleveland LeBron. The Lakers are not going to win. And you can't – people are like, oh, he's struggling. Because if you watch the game, he's getting the others involved. For the Lakers to win, the other players need to be involved. We don't need LeBron to be scoring 40-something points. That's why they couldn't beat the Warriors. Because it was just LeBron. You need other people. And here's another thing. Here's the problem. You can't play two bigs against the Clippers. That's why the lead evaporated. You have to play one big. Two bigs, it doesn't work. That's because the floor, LeBron can't drive because the floor is crowded. So it's more Frank Vogel's rotation with playing two bigs against the Clippers. That doesn't work. They took out, they played one big, the Lakers went on the run. That's the thing. And here's the thing about this Pat Bev. I'm tired of hearing all the dog. Pat Bev plays like, all he does is hack. He plays like that because that's his skill level. It's not like he's, oh, we need him. Alex Caruso to be this. The Lakers have the perfect team already set up, okay? Teams are going to make runs. The Clippers are a decent team. They're not – last time I checked, they haven't won any, okay? Every game has been competitive. The Lakers had the lead. They gave up the lead. Most of the games they could have won. So this myth that somehow we're supposed to be scared of the Clippers, me personally, I think the Lob City Clippers was better than this team they have assembled. That's just me personally. So the LeBron's struggling, he's shooting 37%. That's okay because he's not coming out looking for a shot. He's getting AD involved. He's getting the other guys involved. That's how we're going to win the title. LeBron scoring 40 points a game is not going to get us anywhere.
So, Terry, real quick, I completely disagree with you on the other Clippers, because the reality is in this sport, you need wings to dominate to be able to win championships. And they never really had a strong wing player necessarily, you know, at the two or three spot. But so I'll just, you know, disagree with you on that. I will say this. Patrick Beverley, now you could say he gets away with a lot of that stuff. And the referees maybe allow it based on, you know, history and things of that nature. But his impact on defense is there. Like, it's tangible. Like, he is one of the better defenders in the league, and, you know, by every measurement that we have to measure defense. I will say this. I think the Lakers are the better team for what you pointed out, because I think that they actually have continuity where the Clippers don't. It feels like the Clippers, Terry, are taking turns. You know what I'm saying? Particularly with Kawhi and Paul George. And it feels like the other guys are doing the same thing. Like, when those guys are off the floor, it's Lou Will and Montrez kind of getting theirs. There isn't like this relationship where all of them are on the floor and you feel like they're this well-oiled machine. So thank you for the call. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Let me go to Ace in Inglewood. What's up, Ace? Yes, sir.
Hey, man. I'm gonna be honest with him. I'm a little concerned about these Clippers.
Okay.
You know, Paul George is the main reason why I'm concerned about the Clippers. But hey, man, is Danny Green still on the team, or what's going on with him?
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't have a great game yesterday. That's for sure.
And like, come on, he needs to show up. $15 million a year. He needs to show up. I mean, I'm not concerned. As far as I used to be concerned about our wing defenders, but LeBron, AD, and Kuzma showed that they could defend the Clippers' wings. They did a good job on Paul George and Kawhi. I mean, they didn't make it easy for them. So I think we're good on that. I just think our other guys need to get involved. Danny Green needs to get involved. KCP needs to get involved. And we'll be fine, man. We'll be fine. And, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Hey, stay healthy, stay safe, and Terry as well. Man, it's look, the sum of the parts seem to fit better, at least in actuality, with the Lakers. Maybe on paper it looks better with the Clippers, but in actuality, in practicality, it feels like it works better with the Lakers right now. But man, like, there's questions. You know, like, this is not going to be an easy series. It is going to be 7, I think, like Dave McMiniman said earlier. I'm with him on that. Like, I think that you're going to have a bunch of coin toss games, basically, between these two teams. 710 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small businesses. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. And don't forget, the NBA is back. Tune in Sunday on this station as Jason Tatum and the Celtics host Damian Lillard and the Blazers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 1 Pacific on this very station and most ESPN radio stations. We'll take more of your calls here in a second at 877-710-ESPN. Also, I haven't done this all show, and we did it yesterday, but I forgot to mention today. Don't forget, we have a new lineup starting on August 17th, beginning with Keyshawn and his new show in the morning with Jay Williams and Zubin Mahente from 5 to 9 a.m., Mike Greenberg at 9 a.m., Max Kellerman is back on ESPN Los Angeles at 11 a.m., Mason in Ireland back in the midday at 1 o'clock. We will be doing Purgatory with them, because I will be on with my crew here, Greg Bergman, Laura, and joined by my friend LZ Granderson. He will be part of this family, and we will be on at 4 o'clock. We will do Purgatory as a, you know, LZ and I with Mason in Ireland, each and every day cross-talking together. And so LZ and I will go 4 to 7 together. You know, I worked with LZ, obviously, in the morning, so it's going to be great working with LZ, and obviously really happy to work with Greg and Laura moving forward again, too. And that begins August 17th. And my guy, Scott Kaplan, the 10-day contract worked. He is going to be working 7 to 10 on nights we don't have games. So it's going to be a fun lineup, a great lineup. We have as much local. We're going further into the night most nights than we normally do. Alan Sliwa will be doing his Lakers talk on Mondays. He will be hosting all the Lakers stuff as well for the games. Travis Rogers will be doing stuff in the morning for the Keyshawn show. You will hear him there. You will hear him with the Rams. So that's how we're going to do it beginning August 17th. Let's go to the phones again. Steve is in the OC. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, George. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Word of the day is concerned, isn't it?
Yeah. What are you concerned about?
I'm not concerned about anything. I'm a Clipper.
Oh, okay. Tell me why.
And I'm
I'm thinking that for all these Lakers fans that are concerned, they sound fired up today. Didn't they win last night?
They did.
Doesn't sound like they did.
Well, what do you think they should sound like, Steve? What, Steve, you tell me what they should sound like then.
They should be upset that they didn't blow them out, considering we didn't have two main pieces.
Oh, you're a Clipper fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Now, look, it's interesting you say that, Steve, because on my text message stream yesterday in our chat, Laura and I were like, the Lakers need to win this game, not only for their psyche, because you don't want to go down 3-1 against the team in your city, you know what I'm saying, that is your rival right now, but because they're missing players. And Greg Bergman, go tell Steve what you were trying to dismiss to Laura and I yesterday.
I wouldn't be concerned either way. I wasn't sitting here running my mouth that the Lakers won, and I'm not going to run my mouth if they blew them out or if they lost. It was a game where both teams were sloppy. I mean, the Clippers were sloppy. They weren't at full force. The Lakers were sloppy. They didn't have good offensive shooting. There was a lot. It was just a game where
let Steve rebut you, Bergman. We get it. Let Steve rebut you.
How come when it turned out this way, it's, they didn't have this and they didn't have that. That sounds like excuses.
I didn't excuse anything. I didn't say they needed to blow them out. I actually was not concerned either
way. My question is, why didn't they blow them out?
Because you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who are two of the best players on the planet.
That concern you.
Are you not concerned by LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
No.
No, I mean,
he's delusional.
That's just silly.
I was with you until then. Like, come on.
I didn't say that they're not good, but I'm a Clipper fan.
Oh, but you're not concerned?
I'm rooting for my team. So I don't.
How long has he been a Clipper fan?
How long have you been a Clipper fan? Laura wants to know. How long have you been a Clipper
fan? LA Arena, LA Sports Arena.
Okay.
Back in the
day, Laura.
All right. I'm just saying. The other caller said it. You know, there's no.
All right, Steve, we got to run. We're up against it. Stay healthy, stay safe. Good luck to your team. Webb in Compton. Webb, what's up?
Man, I really want to just talk some real basketball. I mean, I played with these guys in the summer. I'm looking at it like this. You guys got to look at, and somebody said this earlier, so props to him. LeBron is putting people in position to score, which is how we got so many threes in the first half. You know, and it's a slight at him to say that. I know he's not going to shoot well every game, but he's guarding Paul George
and Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard at the end of the half. I mean, you got to look at everything he's doing.
Correct.
And he's been doing it for quite some time. You brought up that finals game where he scored 51 points and because of J.R. Smith. Because LeBron didn't get that charging call that he sacrificed his body for, which is another defensive play he does. So what I'm saying is he always is on time when it counts. Like last night when we went down 9 points, he came back in and hit a three, you know. He didn't make a lot of them, but he made it when it counts.
Yeah. No, listen, LeBron in crunch time yesterday pulled through, not only on offense, but his – and I got to run, Webb, because we're way up past the break, and I appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe. His play at the end there, defensively, forget about the shot. He stopped Kawhi and Paul George on the same possession to seal the win, okay? He stuffed a Kawhi drive, forced a kick out, then he hedged on Paul George, pushed him 10 feet beyond the three-point line, and forced him into an unbelievably difficult shot. That was insane defense, to your point, Webb. Appreciate it. All right, Ben Lyons is going to join us. We'll talk some hoops with him, and we'll get our weekly movie review in as well. And don't forget, John Ireland joins us at 11:40. We are back in a couple of minutes here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Ben Lyons, who will join us here in a second, and John Ireland, who will join us in less than 10 minutes, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Whether you're taking in your favorite lookout or lawn chair, sitting on your porch or in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, salty, sweet and salty bar wherever you are. So Ben Lyons with us here. Ben, thank you so much for joining us here. What was your, I guess, overall thoughts on the Lakers-Clippers last night?
Oh, man. Thanks for having me on the show, George. It was just wonderful to see NBA basketball back in all its glory, and the league's done such a good job of putting on the games to make them look and feel and as big as they are. And man, these two teams, one, they don't like each other. There's a real chippiness. There's a real hoopers wanting to to go at each other with this rivalry now, which is fantastic as fans to watch. And man, Anthony Davis, if he can be the top 2-3 player in the league, then the Lakers are going to be really a tough out. He was tremendous last night, I thought.
So speaking of that, I want to ask you a tough question based on the Lakers, okay? LeBron James has shot 37% in 4 games against the Clippers this season. Anthony Davis's fourth quarter output is as follows in 4 games. 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, 2 points last night. Which one of those two concerns you more?
More concerned with Anthony Davis kind of disappearing when the game gets tight, just because it's not like he has a storied track record of delivering in those moments when the game gets tight or having tremendous playoff or final success. And I think when it comes to LeBron and his field goal percentage against the Clippers this year, I mean, my God, the guy's got to do everything, whether it's guarding Kawhi and Paul George or going up against those guys and the multiple other looks of Morris, brother, or, you know, Trez when he's in the lineup, whoever you're going to throw at him. So the field goal percentage doesn't, as we saw on the final play of the game last night, who cares he takes an off-balance weird shot? If he's going to go up there and get his offensive rebound and put it back, it's not always fluid with LeBron. He's somewhat of like a bricklayer last night. Not only that brick, like in terms of shooting, but just of like diligently doing the work and methodically grinding away as opposed to disappearing. So just under 40% field goal. Who cares? He made it when it counts. AD, I want to see that next level. I'm challenging him to that true superstar status. I want to see him be the best player on this team.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. That's my opinion on it as well. LeBron already has plenty on his plate. Anthony Davis he's the biggest mismatch for them, particularly against the Clippers, and he needs to take advantage of it. All right, let's flip to the Clippers here real quick before we get to the movies. What is your level of concern with the Clippers' lack of continuity and lack of detail because of their lack of continuity?
Eventually, you kick the can down the road, you run out of road. And I feel like that's what the Clippers might be up against, is that if they're waiting to get buttoned up until when it counts the most, then it might be too late. I mean, whether it's guys coming in and out of the bubble, obviously all the Lou Will stuff, but then just watching them play basketball. It's 4 guys standing around watching Kawhi and 4 guys standing around watching Paul. And it feels like Paul and Kawhi have not figured out any type of continuity or rhythm like you see with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And I know it sounds crazy, and this is like my take on hoops, and it's so dumb, right? But when you see LeBron and AD at Summer League, and they're sitting courtside with Kuzma, and they're all in it together, that's chemistry, that's continuity. Paul George is not fishing with Kawhi Leonard. These guys don't seem like there's any type of brotherhood or bond. They're just, you take a turn, I take a turn. And it shows on offense for them when they're very stagnant. But there's a fluidity and a chemistry that the Lakers have that's palpable. And that's going to be what's going to galvanize them, I think, and take them very, very deep into October now.
All right, Ben. So today we are doing a movie review. I saw that Beyonce has a new film out on Disney Plus, exclusively on Disney Plus, Black is King. So it inspired me to ask you our top 5 of female performances, female musical stars in a movie and ranking their performances. Give me that top 5.
And I took it a step further where they're not playing musicians. While what Jennifer Hudson did in Dreamgirls got her the Oscars, she's playing a singer, and that's tremendous, but this is a different list. At number 5, I'm going with Courtney Love in The People versus Larry Flint opposite Woody Harrelson as the pornographer, Larry Flint, an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. She's terrific as his wife, and I thought was going to do more acting throughout her career. Rumored she might have been Jenny in Forrest Gump, but Courtney Love in People versus Larry Flint at number 5. Number 4, Janet Jackson, Poetic Justice. Again, like Courtney Love, thought she would take on more roles, not playing a singer, playing an around-the-way girl, if you will, who has a penchant for poetry and falls in love with Tupac, who plays Lucky in one of his great performances. At number 3, She was nominated for an Academy Award, and she's the first person nominated for acting and musical performance in the same year, and that's Mary J. Blige in the Dee Reese-directed Mudbound. She was nominated for supporting actress as well as for the song Mighty River. At number two, she won the Oscar opposite Nick Cage. It's a classic from 1987, Cher in Moonstruck. And at number one, was nominated for song, was not nominated for performance, but a movie that sadly is too relevant today, George, and it comes up often in our lists, Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. She plays Dora Lee Rhodes opposite Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton, one of the great talents in music, and it shows on screen in that role. Iconic role for Dolly Parton.
There it is, the top five. Feel free to jump in and watch some of those movies this weekend. We always encourage you to watch movies and check out Beyonce's Black is King on Disney Plus as well. Ben Lyons, weekly movie review. You're the best, brother. Talk to you next week. Stay healthy, stay safe.
Basketball's back. Enjoy the weekend, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Be safe.
All right. Take care. Ben Lyons. All right, coming up in 3 minutes, John Ireland stops by. We'll talk Lakers-Clippers with him. And also, the best hamburger in California resides in L.A. We'll talk about that with Ireland as well. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN. John Ireland going to join us in a second. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization to service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And tune in for an AL East rivalry on Sunday as the Yankees and Red Sox go at it, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 3 Pacific on this very station and the ESPN app. So, John Ireland, thanks to Ben Lyons for joining us earlier. John Ireland with us here now. Now, John, you had a movie take, too.
I just sent this to Ben, all right? Madonna in Body of Evidence. She can't act, and the movie is horrible, but she's naked for 75% of it and sleeps with everybody. My kind of movie. And Ben's response was, so period, much, period, candle wax, period, which is absolutely true. Yes. Have you ever seen that movie?
Willem Dafoe. Yes, I did see the movie.
They somehow got a really good cast in it. Joe Mantegna's in it. Ann Archer's in it. It's like a decent cast, but not so much on the movie.
So what about Evita? She got some love for that one.
Oh, please.
Yeah?
Stop it. I mean, Patti LuPone probably still curses every time she sees, who played it on Broadway. But Ben's list was good. He had Dolly Parton ranked too high, but Ben's list was good. I would have put Janet Jackson ahead of Dolly Parton.
Janet Jackson, I agree, was a little low on the list. But, you know,
by the way, how about Beyonce in the Austin Powers movies? Come on,
she was
man.
Very good. Yes, she very was very
convincing.
Good. Yes, yes. That was the that was the gold member, right? That's what that one was called. Good Lord. Are you excited? We're getting Purgatory back. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, I am excited. I never thought Mason and I should have left Middays, and neither did you, obviously, because they kneecapped your show when they did it. But I just hope they let us stick with this, because I think if they do, it's going to work. So let's see. Mason and I, as you know, George, have been on now in every conceivable time slot. We met doing a night show. They started us in the mornings, moved us to afternoon drive, put us in middays. We did mid-mornings at one point. But this is our favorite time. This is where we've had the most success. It's our favorite time to do a show. We thought your show was very good the last time it was on until the powers that be killed it. And so I just hope they let us keep the shows on the air and do it. And if they do, I think everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah, and I get to reunite with LZ in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Okay, let me ask you. Last night, did the Lakers come off as sharp because they figured out a way to win the game at the end, or in trouble because they barely won a game where the Clippers didn't have two of their main guys?
I would say that I would lean towards more the Lakers gutted this one out, and that's a good thing. I don't care how they won the game, because I thought had they lost the game, it would have been worse for their psyche. Not that I normally put a lot of stock in regular season games, John, but because this rivalry this season is this intense because of the disdain the two franchises have for each other.
You can tell.
Yeah, and I think that it was necessary for the Lakers to win it no matter what. And look, LeBron played like crap by LeBron standards, okay?
Right.
LeBron is shooting 37% in these games against the Clippers, but LeBron is taking on the task defensively against Paul George and Kawhi, and nothing was more evident of that than that last possession. It was just incredible the way he defended those guys.
Right, and he guarded both of them on the same play. I would argue this too, George. If you watch – okay, so the Lakers-Clippers series finishes 2-2. Opening night, the Clippers won. Christmas Day, the Clippers won. The Sunday before the shutdown, the Lakers won. And the Lakers won last night, so it's 2-2. In each one of those games, like, Kawhi was a killer in the first game, killer in the second game. It seems to me, and you know this is LeBron's MO, it seems to me LeBron has figured out, okay, I got to lock Kawhi up in the fourth quarter or we're in trouble. And Kawhi struggled in the fourth quarter last night. Paul George was the guy in the fourth quarter in both the Sunday before the shutdown and last night. I just think if these teams meet, and please, God, give us this for the Western Conference Finals, it would be great. If these teams meet, it's going to come down to which one of those four stars can make a play at the end. And last night it was LeBron.
Yeah, look, I'll ask you this, because I mentioned and I agree with that. I mentioned that LeBron shooting 37%. Which one of these two, if you had to pick one, concerns you more? LeBron shooting 37% against the Clippers in the four games, or Anthony Davis's fourth quarter output, averaging 7 minutes in each fourth quarter, but only the output only being 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, and 2 points last night. Which one concerns you more?
Neither, but if I don't duck your question, the 37% for LeBron is a little weird. That's very uncharacteristic of him, as you know. And LeBron normally ramps it up in big games. So when the games are now playoff games, I think that number's going to come up. I'm less worried about Davis, because, and you hit on one of the reasons why. The Lakers' substitution pattern is that Anthony Davis normally doesn't play the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. He only plays the last 6 minutes. Now, having said that, he should have better numbers than he does. But what that doesn't account for, George, is how Anthony Davis affects the game on defense. He's an elite rim protector, and defensively he comes up with a lot of big rebounds and a lot of big defensive plays. I'm not sure any of the other three guys, although Kawhi and Paul George are both elite defenders, rim protect to the level that AD does. So even if he's not scoring, he can affect the game in other ways. I mean, I covered him when he was a Pelican for what would it be, four games a year, and he missed some of those because of injury. Mm-hmm. And I remember, George, and you've done sidelines for a lot of his games, I remembered what an elite offensive player he is, and he's got a great drop step, and he can make threes, and you can't foul him because he makes free throws. What I didn't have a full appreciation for until he came to the Lakers is his wingspan at the rim and how he just takes people out at the end of games. There was a game in Denver this year where he basically just shut off the basket for the final 2 minutes of the game, got it into overtime, and then shut the basket off for all of overtime. That's why you need Anthony Davis out there late, even if he's not scoring. Does that answer your question?
Sort of, yeah, sort of. On the Clippers side of it, I'm starting to worry a little bit. Look, as top-heavy as they are, it just feels like, and I saw this, you know, back in 2010-11 with Wade and LeBron, it just feels like Paul George and Kawhi are just taking turns. And it feels, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of continuity there. And I don't think there's a lot of attention to detail there because there's not a lot of continuity there. Like, that worries me in a seven-game series if you're the Clippers, particularly against the Lakers, or if, God forbid, they actually get beyond that in a final series. Like, I just think that when they play the upper echelon teams, and there's only a couple of them. It's the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, in my opinion, maybe the Raptors. I just think that stuff comes back to bite you.
What was interesting to me, and I agree with you, but what was interesting to me last night is I don't think they ran any plays with the game on the line. They just gave the ball ISO to Kawhi at the top of the key, and when the Lakers shut him off, they gave the ball to Paul George. They were both waving off screens, and they just, you know, had decided we're going to try and win the game going one-on-one. Now, Kawhi can do that. He's an elite offensive player and an elite closer. But once LeBron locked him up, it became Paul George's turn, and then LeBron switched over to Paul George. So I think they need to be more organized. This may be a byproduct of the fact that they've only had now 12, or last night doesn't count because they didn't have everybody. They've had 11 games this season
right,
where they've had their full roster. So there's not a lot of chemistry at the end of games. We'll see if they can get over that. I have great respect for them, though, George. I think they're an incredibly deep team with two all-NBA stars in George and Kawhi. And I think if the Lakers and Clippers meet in the playoffs, it's going six, probably seven games, and it's a coin flip that'll be decided on which star comes up big at the end. I think both these teams are that good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's seven games, and I think every game will probably be a coin flip. And on paper, they should be the best team. Like, when you just look at them on paper, I think that they would be the best team. But that lack of continuity that we just discussed is an issue. Let me go back to the Lakers real quick. The others, as Shaq likes to call them. I know that, you know, last night you got contributions from Kuz and Waiters and Caruso on different levels, right? Like, but do you think that by committee that will work? Or should we be putting more of an emphasis on Kuz? Because Trudell and I were on the other day, and he thinks that, look, that this restart will be kind of a boon for him, right? Like, where, you know, he didn't have the training camp because of what happened when he got hurt with Team USA. What do you think of the third option on this team?
I think that you need the Kuzma you saw last night. If you've got a Kuzma who scores 16 points, hits 4 out of 7 from three, and defends, which wasn't a part of his game 2 years ago, it's been a big part of his game this year. If Kuzma can be that guy, that's enough. Now, what's interesting to me, George, is now that they're 6.5 games up with 7 to go, they can basically audition those Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo minutes. They can decide, they can let all these guys decide who gets those minutes. Now, KCP is going to get the start, but do you give those minutes to Alex Caruso? Do you give them to Deion Waiters? Do you give them to J.R. Smith? You can now use these remaining 7 seeding games to see who plays their way into those minutes. So, the first part of your question is, Kuzma, if he plays like he did last night, if he played like he did in the scrimmage on Saturday in Orlando, which was the last scrimmage he played in when he had 25, I wouldn't expect him to have 25 every game, but if he plays like he did the last 2 times he's played, he's in great shape for that number 3 option. But the by committee thing's out there too, because now if the Lakers win one more game, I think we can both assume now they've got it, right? They've got the number 1 seed.
Yeah, it's locked up, I think.
So audition those minutes. See who rises to the top. Last night, Waiters made a case that he should get rotation minutes in the playoffs, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, he can do stuff from a skill set perspective that the Lakers really don't have on that second.
Right. And it doesn't, I know you're up against it, but doesn't this say something about the Lakers' chemistry? I mean, you think about Dwight Howard couldn't catch on with any of his last 4 teams.
Right.
Deion Waiters, same thing. Couldn't catch on. J.R. Smith. And now they come to the Lakers, and all of a sudden, they're like one of the guys. And they're fitting right in. So let's use these 7 games to figure out who fits in the best.
Yeah, a testament to LeBron and Vogel, I think, particularly.
Yeah, amen.
All right, in California, they voted. The best burger in California resides in Los Angeles. Culver City, to be exact. Father's Office is the vote, according to the Daily Meal website. What is the best burger in Los Angeles, according to John Ireland?
Have you been to Ercoles in the South Bay?
I have not.
Try that. That's very good. I went to Father's Office years ago, and the burger was very good. I don't know if it's the best burger I've ever had. Go to Hercules, George. It's not far from your house. Try it, and let me know what you think.
I will check it out. John, have a great show, man. Thanks again.
All right, boys. See ya.
See ya. Thanks to John. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Dave McMiniman. Thanks to you guys for tuning in, calling in. Thanks to Greg and Laura. We love you. Have a great weekend. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk to you on Monday at 10.